The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. It is I, Dr. Steve Pettirudi, your leader at Intellectual Medicine. Here to bring you the latest, we're going to tell you in the next hour how your blood pressure medicine could be harming you. Should you be taking statin drugs? Do they cause more harm than good? And really, what's the best way to know how old your arteries are? Look, if you're doing blood pressure and cholesterol and think that's cardiac protection, congratulations, you're practicing 1990s medicine. Intellectual Medicine is going to move you up to the modern era and explain why you're not there already. We'll talk about dying hospitals and why this is an industry that is collapsing under the weight of its own ineptitude. And if time permits, we're going to share information about the politics of division. Think about this. What does the trucker tax, the free college plan, and the proposals in Washington regarding health care all have in common? Right? We'll get to that answer. And we're going to talk about superbugs, how to protect yourself from the coming era of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, and why are we creating this problem by overuse of antibiotics. But first, we have to acknowledge Shannon is not with us this morning.
Yes, we do.
Now, Nick's back behind the glass, so we got the A-team here, baby. That's great news. Shannon is driving around, Nick. She is lacrosse duty today.
Man, again?
Again.
We got to change those lacrosse game times.
Got it. Ethan is on his way up to with the Bulldogs. He's going to be out this morning, and then Owen will be at a shooting clinic. And, you know, and my 14-year-old Joshua is rehabilitating from his shoulder surgery. So I've got five children. Shannon has two. Together, we count for seven. Every now and then, you know, Nick, I look at my child, and beautiful child, and I think to myself, you could have been a Porsche. What am I doing?
What a way to look at the kids.
What am I doing? Oh, no. I love them all. They're all magnificent.
That's good. In the long run, you'll like it, the child more than the Porsche. Trust me.
That's right. You're right. I'll be like 98 and happy they're visiting
And hopefully
me.
They'll be taking care
well, you know,
of you.
That's why I had so many of them. You know, I figured they can't all be annoyed with me at once.
Exactly.
So there's somebody out there to talk to.
Law of averages, right?
That's it. Well, today, folks, it's the month. Well, it is the month of June. And thank you for your faithful listening of our show. We are now at our one-year anniversary, and we have had great success and wide listenership. That's right. Hooray for us. And I think I can think of no better way to celebrate that than going to Amazon and purchasing Cancer Machine by Dr. Steve Pettirudi, my fiction novel based in reality. All the stories there come from life experiences and medical experiences I've had or borne witness to. But, so go to Amazon, you can Google Dr. Pettirudi, and you'll come up to Cancer Machine, a fantastic fast read. And if you bring it by our center, I will personally autograph it for you.
How about that?
How cool is that? A collector's edition, first edition.
I don't want to see it on eBay, though.
No, they're going to keep it and hand it down. It'll be a family heirloom. So, look, we need to talk about this whole issue regarding blood pressure. Many of you are on blood pressure drugs, and many of you monitor your blood pressure. Stop for a moment and think why. Many of you know your cholesterol number. Stop for a moment and think why. The common denominator is you do not want to get a stroke or a heart attack. That is a noble aspiration. And yet, half of the people who show up at hospitals with heart attacks have normal cholesterol. And we know that blood pressure control has value, but not the same value for everybody. And how do we discriminate? To whom are you going to give drugs? And in whom are the drugs going to cause more harm than good? We are still practicing 1990s medicine, applying a single standard across the entire spectrum of the population based upon old-fashioned studies. There's something coming out. It's called JNC8. Eight. That's the number eight. That's how many times they've tried to figure out what the right number is for your blood pressure. and they still can't quite get it. According to some studies, the number should be less than 120, and others less than 140. Utterly confusing. And to add complexity to this, there's that concern about white coat hypertension. You know, I go to see the doctor, I get nervous, my blood pressure spikes. Maybe I'll get a home cuff. The home blood pressure cuff have been shown to be inaccurate 70% of the time. So you're getting bad data, trying to get an outcome that is not tied in to the number you're chasing. You know, there's an adage that states, if you can't measure what's important, you give importance to what you can measure. And I think it holds true for blood pressure and cholesterol. False comfort by chasing these numbers. Too many drugs. Far too many drugs. And it's tied into the death of the hospital era. And really, intellectual medicine is rising up in the ashes of old-fashioned medicine. And let me reassure you folks, not everybody's happy about it. Our patients are, you should be, because we are going to help give you the elixir of youth, longevity, and health. Too many times we treat the consequence of illnesses rather than the cause, and I can think of no more prominent example of that than blood pressure, cholesterol, heart attack, and stroke. So if the blood pressure is not as important as it's cracked up to be, and if the cholesterol is overrated, then what do you do? Well, you know, there's a study out there that demonstrates older people, if you're over 65 and you've never had a heart attack or a stroke and you're taking a statin drug, the studies indicate absolutely no value, no improvement in your lifespan, longevity, or prevention of disease, and a possible amplification that is an increase in adverse outcomes. And what about blood pressure? Too often, people are just chasing numbers. You got to look past the shadows. These are what I call surrogate markers. We're looking on the wall at shadows and trying to figure out what's going on inside the body. Well, why not look right inside the body? The intellectual medicine approach is looking at calcium scores, looking at pulse wave velocity. Now, if you've never heard of those terms, it's because you're thinking 1990s and your doctor's petrified in that era as well. These should take the place of blood pressure and cholesterol, or certainly supersede them. The pulse wave measures how fast a pulse moves through your arteries. The arteries stiffen, the pulse moves faster. It's a way that we can track and assess the age and health of your arteries. How fabulous is that? Now, I maintain if you have a normal pulse wave velocity, that is a, when I say normal, I'm talking about 20 years younger than your chronologic age. So let's redefine normal right out of the gate, because normal to conventional medicine is you're corroding at the same rate as your peers. Well, that's not normal to us. Normal to us is paralyzing the aging process at the peak of your life wellness. Look, and I'm 58 years old. I never felt better. I'm practicing what I preach, and I'm enjoying life, and I expect to do this right up until I die at 120. Maybe beyond that, you know, once we get new technology. Hopefully beyond that. The point of this, however, is you need better information. When you know your pulse wave and your calcium score, you can look at the artery and you can know whether or not there's calcifications there. It'll guide you regarding how to approach this. Now, let's throw one other critical element into the mix, obesity. Excess adiposity increases your risk of all-cause death, heart attack, stroke, dementia, cancer, not to mention the impact it has on our own pleasure in life, our functional ability. Now, when we treat, and we have solved the riddle of obesity at intellectual medicine, we have solved it. And if we are so great at that, how come this hasn't swept the nation? Why isn't it embraced everywhere?
That's a good question.
Because it corrodes profitability of competing entities. Now, they're not maliciously conspiring. They are rather preserving their profit center. Look, if you're doing gastric bypasses, you don't want us to succeed. You want to cut people up and make $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 for your institution. That's why you see billboards, folks. They don't care about your prevention. Look, at hospitals don't care about prevention, period. They make money hospitalizing people. That's not prevention. Yeah, they give lip service to it because it looks good, but that's not where the future is. So we get to the weight loss treatment, and you know what happens? The blood pressure medicines go away. The cholesterol drugs go away. That pulse wave I was telling you about slows down. The arteries literally get younger. That can happen. And that is at the core of intellectual medicine's mission. It is making you younger than your years. Too often we're led to believe that our condition is irreversible. You have bone-on-bone arthritis. You have arteriosclerosis. Those arteries are hardening. You need stents. You need catheterizations. Look, there's a role for that, and certainly that can be life-saving in the right circumstance. But when you combine the weight loss medical therapy that we have had profound success with over 15 years, 90% success, no regain. These ridiculous liquid fasts are an absurd testimonial to profitability and stupidity. And you combine that with hormone replacement, not only sex hormone bioidentical, but supporting growth hormone when it's needed. You can preserve life. You can reverse these arterial diseases. You can obliterate the need for statins and blood pressure drugs in many ways. This is our mission. You know, it drives me crazy seeing doctors stuck in that old model. You know, they don't want to be stuck there. More, for the first time in the recent history of medicine, maybe ever, more doctors are working for a company than independent. That's very bad for patients. They lose their ability to be creative and proactive. So when we come back, folks, I'm open to your calls on this topic. Up next, we're going to talk about superbugs and how your antibiotics could be killing you. I'm Dr. Pedderudi. This is Intellectual Medicine. Hey, gang, I am back. It's Dr. Pedderudi. This is Intellectual Medicine. Next up, we'll be talking about superbugs, how to protect yourself. You know, especially in the summer, it gets hot and sticky. Bugs can rip you up. But before that, you know, Nick, we got to give a couple of kudos out, a couple of awards out. Congratulations. A couple weeks ago, there was a big drug bust in Rhode Island.
Yes, it was.
It was a coordinated effort of several police departments, Providence and East Providence among them. And I happen to know one of those officers. And, you know, they were putting in 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for 2 months.
That's great work by our
non-stop,
police.
Non-stop, living in their cars. You know, these silent civil servants deserve our respect and admiration. That is going above the mark. On top of that, we've got, this is one, the Juanita Sanchez School. Yeah. Where they now have established a food bank, the Juanita Sanchez Education Complex, under the leadership of their teacher, Shannon Gormley, with contributions from Sodexo and Whole Foods. These kids have cobbled together their time, their effort, and have established a food bank to help fellow students that are in need. There's a teacher going above and beyond. Yeah. Now let's compare and contrast it for a moment before we get to superbugs to what's going on in some school districts where teachers are annoyed because they're not getting enough money, so they work to the rule. What the hell's that? Work to the rule, my ass. That means that they're not writing letters of recommendation for students. They're not going to awards banquets. They are not they're not having extracurricular activities. They call this work to the rule. I call it child neglect. You tell me. You call in right now if you're working to the rule and explain to me how this helps students. Explain to me how you are not a sniveling coward bucking under union pressure for your own self-interest at the expense of those students. If you had guts, you'd go on strike. You know, be in or be out, but don't be halfway. Those police officers were not in it halfway. They were in it all the way. And the outcome was great. Shannon Gormley is not in it halfway at Juanita Sanchez. Look, I love our teachers, but guys, you are polluted in your thinking and you need some correction. This is neglect. Ah, it drives me nuts. You know, corrodes our public health. We got to talk about superbugs, though. You know what? You know
superbugs.
You know what makes superbugs? Superbugs, by the way, folks, are the bugs that antibiotics cannot cure. It's a scary thought. And do you know that 12,000 people will die from superbug infections in the next year? That's as many people as die from breast cancer.
That's a lot.
It's a ton. And many of them are otherwise healthy. We're not talking about just culling the herd of the weak and vulnerable. Superbugs live in hospitals. Now, we're talking about the death of the hospital model of healthcare, and this is one reason we should hasten its death. Another, though, is the overuse of antibiotics. Too many antibiotics, too often, for indications that they have no value. I'm talking about chest colds, sinus infections, ear infections. How many times do people think, man, I got to nip this one in the bud? Let me go see my doctor. I've got this cough. I need a Z-Pak. Nonsense. Studies will show that that antibiotic will ruin the bacteria in your gut for the next year. That's one whole year of altered gut flora. And what that does is make your immune system weaker and make you more vulnerable to the next infection. A superbug thrives in an environment of immunologic weakness. And we talked about stress a moment ago, the stress on the students that are being compromised by teachers not doing their job properly. The stress that happens from those officers putting 12-hour shifts in. That's when the door cracks open and superbugs can swoosh in. Now, there is an antibiotic out there, one of which is called vancomycin. And there's new research indicating that it can be modified and it can be improved. Now, that's great news, but better news is what to do. Listen, before you take that antibiotic, ask your doctor, is this really necessary? At Intellectual Medicine, we've developed methods of enhancing your body's own immune system. We have an intravenous drip called the Shield that is supportive of immunologic health with high-dose vitamin C, zinc, and other intravenous elements that can make your immune system function at its best level. This is a better approach, folks. It's a better approach than slapping antibiotics all over the place. Another place you get too many antibiotics, cattle feed. That's right. They're dumping them in the cattle feed so that they can grow them to be fatter. Antibiotics grow fat. That's why they give them to animals so that they can get paid more money. They get paid by the pound. So it's important for us to be inquisitive and resistant when it comes to antibiotics. By the way, these infusions can be delivered to you Monday through Saturday at Intellectual Medicine. You don't need a doctor's note or an appointment. You can just call, come in. If you're battling a chest cold, these are viral. Now, in some cases, antibiotics are necessary. So if you're sick and want a consultation with your doctor, by all means, that's a very reasonable step. But if the doctor says to you, antibiotics probably aren't going to help you, then move on. Move on. Protect yourself from superbugs. Probiotics have been shown to be of value in this regard. They need to be of high quality. Make sure you know your supplier. One study demonstrated that 70% of probiotics were dead on arrival. If they're not packaged properly, if they're not stored properly, and if they're not shipped properly, they can be dead. So superbugs are worthy of protecting yourself from. And when you're in the hospital, you know what I tell my patients in the hospital? To make sure that they are taking a high-dose probiotic. We've got one that has 225 billion colony counts of probiotic.
Billion.
225 billion. That's
wow.
Right, because you know, if you're measuring your probiotic, they should be measured in the billions. Things like Activa, like yogurt, I mean, they have probiotics in the millions. That is a spit in the ocean considering what the need is. And when you go to the hospital, you're in the eye of the storm when it comes to horrible bacteria. And it's interesting to me, Nick, you know, the first thing they do when you go to the hospital is they take away all your supplements.
Yes.
They strip them. You must now look at if you want to take that probiotic and you're in the hospital, you know somebody who is, deliver it to them. Tell them to be on the QT about it. Don't tell the doctor about it, this probiotic, you know, or if you do, then be proactive and assert that you would like to remain on it. I have found more doctors now becoming enlightened and open-minded to that approach, and certainly nurses are being very supportive of it as well. But you are master of your health, and you need to direct your care. All right, folks, when we come up next, we're going to talk about the politics of division and answer the riddle, what's the common denominator between truck tax-free college and healthcare in Washington. But next up is Bill Haberman from the Revolution Softwash News Center.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
I am back. It's Dr. Steve Pettirudi, and you can join the conversation if you like. Better bring your armor, man. I do not want some wimpy-ass call. But you could call if you like. Nick, what's the number here?
438-9776, toll free, 1-800-321-WPRO.
All right, there it is. Now, for the next segment, we will be working to the rule here at Intellectual Medicine, so you're about to achieve a period of radio silence. You understand, my contract does not require me to speak. I merely need to
that
be on the
true.
Air.
That is true.
I'm not required to speak.
That is true.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm not getting paid enough. I'm not going to talk until, you know, you up my ante here.
Okay.
That radio silence. Work to the rule. It's like un-be-freaking-leavable. That is, you know what? We need. They need to change that rule. But listen, I got to get off that topic. We have bigger things to talk about. And among them, Nick, it's your career, my friend. Congratulations on graduating.
Thank you
on
very
being,
much.
An entrepreneurial-driven, hardworking guy.
Thank you.
And your new position with Dan York. That's
yes.
awesome.
Thank you very much.
Full-time position there. Listen, we've appreciated the work you've done here at Intellectual Medicine.
Thank you.
I know our paths will continue to cross.
Of course.
Always an important person in our sphere.
Thank you.
You got to come see me down there.
I know. I do.
I want you to come in and I want you to experience one of our infusions.
Okay.
The power pack would be good for you.
All right.
Just boodles of energy, antioxidants, glutathione. You kind of go out walking on air.
I think it's amazing how much energy I have at this time of the day to begin with. So.
All right. Then we need to worry about the antioxidant assault that goes on your body as you sleep 2 hours a night.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. But we do want to connect some of these other elements. We've been talking about this common denominator, the death of the hospital system. So let's spend a moment on that. You know, the hospital system, back in the 1950s, my grandfather gave $25 to help start Kent County Memorial Hospital. Now, back then, there was no Route 95. The only hospital was in Providence, and it was hard to get to. And the local people, the population in central Rhode Island was growing, decided, hey, we need a hospital. So they raised the money and they built one. They, the people, $25 was a lot of money to a barber back in the 1950s. You know, now look what's happened. The mission was to serve the people in Kent County. But over time, these institutions morph. They cease functioning with their original mission in mind, and they become fixated on self-preservation. So now we have Kent County Memorial Hospital. I would love to know what the hospital director got paid back then. Because you know what? These suckers are getting seven figures to run a not-for-profit entity. Now, Nick, who runs the biggest not-for-profit entity in the entire state? That's a trick question.
A trick question because I don't know.
Gina Raimondo. She's a governor. It's a not-for-profit entity. And by golly, she gets paid a fraction of what these fat cats get at Blue Cross, at each of these hospitals, tooling around with an army of vice presidents making 10 times what Gina Raimondo makes to run the entire state, the entire state. You know what? While I'm on this topic, I think if you're a not-for-profit, your income of your top executive should be capped at what the governor makes in your state.
I like that idea.
Because they're getting all sorts of tax benefits.
Yeah.
They're dodging taxes. And they're shunting that money, calling it a not-for-profit. They shunt the money into salary. It's a sneaky way. Why do you think these marijuana centers are so popular? They're going to be driving Porsches. Speaking of Porsches, they'll be driving Porsches, company cars. Look, it's just cheating the public. So now Care New England is going to lose $40 million bucks, or they have, and they want to sell off one of their assets. It's time for these hospitals to face the fact they need to change fundamentally. They should be colossal urgent care centers with an intensive care unit attached. 80% of what happens in a hospital could be done at home with the proper resources being reallocated. The hospitals will never advocate for that because it means the death of business as usual. Now, here's a question as well. When a hospital sells an entity, who gets the money?
That's another one I don't
Nick,
have the answer for.
I want the money. My grandfather put in $25 70, 80 years ago, by golly, when they sell that hospital, I should get a dividend.
You should. It's like a stock investment.
It is. Oh, boy. There's a lot I don't know. And, you know, folks, if you want to enlighten me on this hospital issue, feel free. However, I can tell you that the winds of change are blowing. Intellectual medicine is the future, and the future is now. And it's happening right here in Rhode Island. And you know what they told us, Nick, when we started, Shannon and I started Intellectual Medicine in Rhode Island?
What's that?
It'll never work there. Those Rhode Islanders are too stupid and backward. We were at national conferences 8 years ago as we were conceiving of this approach, and we were discouraged. And you know, We know Rhode Islanders, and we know southeastern New England, and they're bright and progressive, and they want what we have, even if they don't know it. Now let's look at this politics of division, right? The trucker tax, the free college tuition, and health care insurance. What do they have in common? They're dividing us into winners and losers, into haves and have-nots. That is absurd and undemocratic. We all drive on the roads. We all need to be educated. We all need some form of health care insurance. So why not exact a program that reflects the mission? For instance, this is utterly political approach. You tax the truckers. You know, they're spending $70 million on a company from Austria to come in and tax our people, our truckers, the backbone of industry. Why? Because it's politically convenient, right? Truckers don't vote Democratic. Rhode Island's a Democratic state.
Exactly.
So we tax them, and everybody else goes, good, they're not taxing me. That's nonsense. They're coming for you next. They're going to divide and conquer. They should have done something simple. A 10-cent per gallon gas tax does not require Austria to make $70 million to put in an infrastructure, and everybody feels the pain equally. We all want better roads. You know, at some point, you get what you pay for. So I don't know a person out there that would be against improving roads if they felt confident that the money's going to go to the right source. Everybody's in. It's like what I said before. Medicare works because everybody's in. Social Security, everybody's in. Everybody has a potential for benefit. Now let's look at free college. We were talking before about work to the rule. These local high school budgets are getting slashed. The schools themselves are corroding. Our schools in the state of Rhode Island are decidedly mediocre. And what drives the economy and drives value and draws people and businesses, quality of life. And quality of life starts with education. So I maintain everybody benefits from public education, including high schools. Put the money there. Now on to health care. The bills coming out of Washington will fail. Whether it's Obamacare, Trump care, I don't care what you call it. Until you ensure everybody, you are neglecting the most vulnerable, and you are giving people divisive reasons to attack each other. You know, the money should come to me. No, it should come to me. No, it should come to me. You know, the hell with it. Medicare for everybody. Everybody has a floor. And then those who aspire to a higher level have the freedom to join things like intellectual medicine, knowing that their base needs are met. It's simple, direct, and it would succeed. So this is driving me crazy, these divisions. And there's one more division we need to talk about. By the way, these affect health. You know,
they do.
If your money is being absorbed through ridiculous insurance costs, well, you don't have the money left over to actually spend on your health. Your insurance is not health insurance. It's sick insurance. Your doctor is really not in the business of maximizing your health, just preventing illness. And there's a huge difference between the two. Wellness, health, youthfulness, extended life is not merely the absence of disease. This is what we do every day at Intellectual Medicine. It is our passion, and we succeed every day doing it. But the other element here is the absurd method of economic growth currently being put forth by the state of Rhode Island, legislature, and the governor's office, selecting businesses to give them money to make them come here. Once again, you're dividing things in half. You know, if I'm giving money to a company to come to Rhode Island, what about the native Rhode Island companies that are already here? Do you know that Aetna is now moving out of Connecticut? They're a big insurance company. And did you know that this incentive program was designed specifically to try to draw in insurance companies? Aetna is not considering Rhode Island. This approach, people, has failed. What works? You get a better foundation for all businesses, and they're fighting each other to be here. And more importantly, you create an incubator so your native Rhode Islanders can start businesses and grow them here. I believe Alex Anani was an organic Rhode Island entity. You know, Intellectual Medicine is an organic Rhode Island entity. We get EGOTs from the state. We want to see more of the brilliant, creative, industrious Rhode Islanders be encouraged to start their own businesses. That's where the money should go, not courting some stupid business that's coming here from Connecticut. By the way, they're not even considering us. GE bypassed us. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Those big companies come, they can leave. So this notion of having a horrible base of hyper-regulated business and then trying to give away money on top of it is ridiculous. When we come back, we need to talk about the value of street life, graffiti, and the horrible thing that happened to my friend at Big Blue Bug, the graffiti, and there's a connection between the corrosion of quality of life. I'm Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine. We're back. You know, Nick, that's an appropriate song.
It is.
I'm telling, because, you know, I had a vampire, intellectual medicine vampire facial done a couple of days ago by Shannon. You can watch that on Facebook. And, you know, my face never looked better. It keeps getting younger.
Is that video more instructional or more comedic, though? Because the way you said it, it's kind of like...
No, it's actually experiential. We wanted people to bear witness to it, that this is part of a new way of living, that you don't have to get old. And that's what we do every day. Yes, arteries are important, fighting cancer, preventing dementia, keeping your muscles strong, sexual vitality. But by golly, you got to hold on to your face. It's the only one you got. So we do things very physiologic to help that. Anyhow, it's intellectual medicine. I'm Dr. Pederuti on this beautiful weekend. Don't forget, tonight, you very fortunate Rhode Islanders, it's going to be a water fire night.
And I will be there.
And if you'll look closely, you'll see me on one of the boats putting logs on the fire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be a fire tender.
Riding the gondola today?
No, not the gondola. No, I'm a worker bee, baby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got to be all in black and putting logs on the fire with Ethan, my 14-year-old, will be there with me. It's a fun night. It's great.
Fire is fun.
It's unique to Rhode Island. It takes a ton of volunteer labor. If you've never volunteered, go to Waterfire and online and look for the volunteer opportunities. It's a blast. You get to really do something great for Rhode Island. And speaking of doing great things for Rhode Island, we also took a beautiful walk down to DePasquale Square, another gem in the state of Rhode Island where there was a band playing and we sat outside at a cafe. Close your eyes and you could be in Florence. That's how beautiful it is. And that's your city, your state at its very best. The people, the creative energy, fantastic. But there's a negative element that we need to crush. And I'm talking about the corrosion of street life brought upon by micro insults, graffiti, litter, loitering, corrosive. And our good friend Tony DeJesus, speaking of native businesses that have been grown up in Rhode Island, a great example of a great business with a great civic record, somebody put graffiti over the Big Blue Bug. I take that personally. I think most of Rhode Island should. I take pride in the state. And I want those punks not to bask in the glory of their criminal behavior. You know, every morning, we live up at the residences down in Providence, Shannon and I with the kids, a beautiful place to live. We love it there. And every morning I work out at the gym, and there's a window that overlooks the Providence Place Mall. And for the past 3 months, I stare at the same stinking graffiti on the sign right there, highly visible, Providence Place Mall. What's going on? You know, every time a graffiti criminal, punk, sprays that garbage, and every time they see it, they get a little tinge of personal pride, right? That's their mark. These are losers, man. They got no other reason to exist than to try to
defacing people's property.
Make their mama proud, right? Go spray my mark. We need to eliminate these instantly. There should be a rapid response force that obliterates graffiti upon it touching the surface all the time, every time. That will reinforce the positive elements of our culture. It will improve the quality of life at a street level. Look, I know it's a small thing, but it matters.
It does.
It matters.
Every little thing matters in a little state.
We can all remember Rudy Giuliani, how he turned around New York City by paying attention to the things that matter to the residents. Now, fortunately, they're eliminating some of the other nuisances to quality of life. Some of the people that were driving ATVs throughout the city are disregarding the welfare of others in the interest of promoting their own misdeed. So the Big Blue Bug will be restored, I'm sure. I know my friend Tony DeJesus will be on top of that. And I'm calling upon the leaders of the city of Providence, the state of Rhode Island, to take action. I'm tired. You know, you work in the fish factory long enough, you don't smell the fish anymore. You stare at that graffiti long enough, you don't see it anymore. But rest assured, it's offensive and it corrodes the appeal of our one of our biggest industries, tourism. Beauty sells. Cleanliness sells. Clean air, clean water sell. Tonight at Waterfire, that will drive the economy. And it's a thing of beauty. Art is good business, especially in Rhode Island. We are the Florence of America. That should be our aspiration. Everything about it should be tinged in artistic beauty because we are uniquely positioned for that. There's no state that has better geographic assets, the beaches, the bay, and better human resources with regard to the creative energy of its population. We need to expect more. We can't continue to accept mediocre schools, graffiti-riddled cities, loitering individuals corroding street life. We can't accept this. We should not accept second-rate medical care. Now, we have wonderful doctors in the state. We have wonderful surgeons. But, you know, there's an era where some of these hospitals will collapse and close. And we will no longer be seeing Kent compete against Providence. It's going to be Providence against Boston because people are mobile. And we should be mobile and we should have choices. And one of those choices should be the freedom to have a personal relationship with your primary care doctor. Intellectual medicine, concierge approach enables that to occur. Preserving health, holding on to youthfulness, 120 youthful years. We're here every Saturday from 8 to 9, often with Shannon. Better show when she's here. Love having her in the studio.
Great it's always voice. A great show, though. Well, you always know, a great show, but she is an improvement on the show.
A big improvement, especially if you have a camera, right?
Yes.
That's right. Up next, though, is my good friend Tony DeJesus, a native Rhode Island business doing great things for Rhode Island, Big Blue Bug Solutions. I'm Dr. Steve Pedderudi. You're listening to Intellectual Medicine on WPRO. We are wishing you 120 youthful years.